this next guy, we always love talking to him. He's always on here busting my balls about LeBron coming to play for the Nets and is that going to happen. And I know we want to catch up with him not long after July 1st to see how this thing shakes out. But he is part of one of the most popular and successful sports talk radio shows anywhere on the legendary WFAN in New York, the Midday Show. Joe and Evan, it's Evan Roberts, our friend. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge, Evan. Good to have you tonight. How you doing, man?
How you doing? I'm doing fantastic.
Happy to have you on our 100th episode. Coincidentally, a little while later tonight here, somebody that has become sort of one of our own as far as the dignitaries goes. I understand that the guy's been on your show a handful of times as well here. New York area sports lawyer Steve Callis, one of our good friends. He said to say hi. He says he's enjoyed the times when he's been on WFAN and been on your show. And Steve's a hell of a guy. Wanted to say hi to you.
Yes, and he has explained complicated law stuff to Joe and I many a time because we're not lawyers. Though I date one, we don't really understand the law too much. So whenever there's something that involves, like, I don't know, a football player shooting himself in the nether regions while he's at a club, we like to put him on, and he could tell us the legal ramifications. So he's a good man.
Yeah, he breaks stuff down really sound. You know, the intersection of sports, ethics, and the law, that's always how I bill him and everything. The previous segment that we had here, it was pretty interesting. Let me get your thoughts on this, and if you have any thoughts in these areas here, we convened what we like to call a hardcore football panel. We were getting into issues such as why are teams getting to be so enamored of the 3-4 when nobody in college runs it, when it's a win-now league and you're having to project guys. You know something about that in New York with Vernon Golston projecting him into the 3-4. Issues such as that, so it's always fun to talk hardcore football. Let's take a look at that one right there, you know, for example, because, you know, with the Jets with the 3-4 and everything, you know, unless you're rating a successful team like the Patriots or the Steelers, it's hard to get anybody who's experienced in one of these kind of things, isn't it?
And it's funny, when the Jets flipped to the 3-4 a couple of years ago, it was under Eric Mangini, and he was putting together puzzle pieces that didn't fit because the Jets did not have the personnel to run a 3-4. But the problem was, that's all Eric Mangini knew. You know, when he got this job as Jets head coach, he only knew the 3-4. So he tried to put the pieces together for a 3-4, even though they didn't have the personnel for it. It basically ran Jonathan Vilma out of town. That's why he's not a Jet anymore. Obviously, it's worked out now that Rex has taken over, and he's put the proper pieces together, bringing in guys like Bart Scott and what have you. Obviously, Vernon Golston's a disaster, but, you know, Jets had the number one ranked defense without him doing anything. But when they first switched over to the 3-4 with Mangini, it didn't work. It didn't fit. And it was almost like he was forcing the team to do it, even though he didn't have the personnel to fit the system, because that's pretty much all he knew. He came from Belichick.
Well, you know, I have to say, Evan, as far as that idiot Mangini forcing pieces in that don't fit, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. I am a Browns fan, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw it last year.
but you can't refer to it in the past tense, there, buddy. You've been there and you're still doing it. It's not like you're done with it. We're done with it. You're still experiencing it for a little bit.
Well, that's true. That's true. One of the things is here too. I don't know to what extent you've seen this with different regimes in New York, or if you've seen this, and maybe this isn't even necessarily exclusive. And in fact, I know it's not exclusive to football, but when you start to get into the politics of regime change, it's one of these things here where they've done the whole thing of everything must go on the Phil Savage players. And I have to say, I'm still the one guy in this town with the cojones to stand up for Phil Savage and to say that he was run out of town prematurely. But Cameron Wembley, given to the Raiders for like a late third round pick. Alex Hall, nice edge rusher, picked up in the seventh round, given to the Eagles as a throw-in in a deal as though he was a piece of garbage. It's just one of these things here where, you know, when a regime starts to get things going and they start to get their pieces in place, boy, you know, God help the players involved if the next group comes in, because I'll tell you what, Holmgren and Heckert, I put some stock in them, especially Heckert. He did such a nice job in Philly, but I'm starting to question this. If it's a thing where if you're a Savage guy, get lost, we don't want you under any circumstances, that's the kind of know-nothingism that I think just alienates a lot of fans.
Well, see, that's all about ego, and that happens in every single sport, it seems. When a new regime takes over, you got to win with your guys. You don't want to win with the past regime's guys, even if those guys, you know, could help you win. It's all about ego. But With that said, I mean, you got to trust Mike Holmgren. It's not like you've won anything in the last couple of years with Phil Savage. So I understand that sometimes moves are made. Again, you see it in every sport where it's just it's about ego. That's really all it's about. But you definitely, especially you guys, you know something or two, you know a thing or two about losing. You got to trust Mike Holmgren that he knows what he's doing. The thing I don't get is why he kept Mangini, but I think he'll be gone eventually anyway.
Yeah, I do too. And I do feel a little bit better about that. I wasn't happy about him keeping Mangini, let me assure you of that. Let me ask you this, because I got to tell you, at the top of the next hour, we're starting off, we're playing some clips from the archives here tonight to celebrate our 100th show. One of the things, and this is a coincidence, when Steve Cervillo, our producer, said you were going to be coming on with us here tonight, we got about a 6 to 7 minute clip we're running at the top of the next hour, going back to when your partner was on with us last year. Probably the biggest train wreck in the history of the show.
Because What happened? He hijacked
it for like 7 minutes. It was great in a cringe radio kind of a way. I happened to put it out there that the Dolphins are basically my 1A team. The Browns are my favorite team. Dolphins are my 1A. We were doing a general football preview. And
right.
For about 7 minutes, he berated me on that. It was, how can you do this? What would you do if they play in the AFC Championship game? And I said, they're my 1A. I would root for the Browns. I answered the question like 5 times until I finally just exploded, said that I answered the question several minutes ago. Can we move on? And it was apparently the look on my face was one of just such glazed anger at the time. I'm like, oh, we got to rerun this. This was such a train wreck. We got to rerun this. You work with the guy every day. I mean, I'm sure you can picture this in your mind's eye.
Oh, well, but you know what? I hate to say this. You may not love this, and I'm not going to go on any tirade or anything, but my partner, Joe Beningo, is 110% right.
Okay.
I mean, again, you know, I like you. I like coming on your show, but you are insane if you think you can root for two teams. He's 100% right. In fact, Joe, I give him a plug, has written a book called Rules of the New York Sports Fan. I understand you're not a New York sports fan, but like rule number one is you can't root for two teams. So I think you may have inspired him to write the book. I think he probably went home afterwards and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a book because of this guy. So you know what? He should probably give you like a check for 10%.
You know what? Yeah, I am going to put in a petition for royalties on this sumbitch because, yeah, I'm pretty sure I inspired that.
He's right, though, man. I mean, look, you can't be rooting for more than one. Look, I'm a basketball fan. Obviously, my team's not in it, so now I will like adopt a playoff team that I'll happen to root for. But that team's not my favorite team. You know, it's just an adoption so that I can enjoy the NBA playoffs. But I don't want to take Joe's material, but he's right. You can't be rooting for two teams. I know you're going to explode on me, but what are you doing? And the Dolphins of all teams?
Well,
Dolphins? Ugh.
Honestly, here's what it is. Here's what I go back to. When I was a real, real, real little kid, okay? And I had the misfortune, what I thought at the time was a tragic misfortune, of being nearsighted and having to get glasses and taking all the crap that comes with that in elementary school. Along comes Bob Greasy, bespectacled Bob Greasy, hero of the gridiron, leading his team to greatness. Now, granted, all I remember as a tiny, tiny kid is the tail end of his career. I don't remember. I was alive, but I don't remember the Super Bowls. But look, through Bob Greasy, I became a Dolphins fan, just like, now, I wasn't really into hockey before college, but through Steve Yzerman, I became a Wings fan. Kind of the same thing. A player can lead you into that. So, you know, I never abandoned the Dolphins after that point in time. I suppose that doesn't make me a more sympathetic character, but there's my explanation.
Yeah, it doesn't really make you sympathetic. Makes you a little pathetic. No, I'm just kidding. I actually understand why that would lead you to a team, but look, we all have our reasons why we root for teams. You know, I got my weird reasons why I root for all the teams I like, but then that's it. It's like I'm married, you know? There's all our reasons why we get married to a woman, but I'm not marrying 5 different women. You know, I don't think I'd be able to handle that. I don't think any man would be able to. I only have one wife. Can you imagine me if I'm not married, but if I got married, say, you know what, hon? You're my 1A, okay? I'm going to use you just for the sex. But this other wife, that's my B. I love you more, but this is my other wife. That's the way it is. Think about it. And except in sports, you can't divorce your wife. You know, you can't divorce a team. I don't care who they trade.
Well, you know, it's funny because Joe made the You know, he made somewhat of a same comparison that night, and people will hear it in the clip of hey, it's not like you're going to, you know, it basically, this isn't like having a wife. You can only have one sports team in a lifetime, you know. So
that's right. Women come and go. The sports teams are with you forever. I think that's the line he usually uses.
Dare I say, you guys are so similar on this, you know, you could almost classify yourselves as work spouses here, the way that your minds are melding.
On this particular issue, yes. There are other issues, though, that we do butt heads on. But on this one, we're in complete agreement, yes.
All right. Well, let me ask you about this as well here. You know, we seem to be disproportionately on football here tonight, but that's okay. The NFL draft was last week. I want to ask you about this because we hear about New York sports fans and the impatience and the whatever. I got to tell you something. I saw one of the most egregious examples of just complete and utter total ignorance last week that I have ever seen in my life. And other people have seen the same thing on other message boards and forums and whatnot. I am seeing nothing but a ton of opprobrium coming the way of Jerry Reese and the Giants for this Jason Pierre-Paul pick. The best effing edge rusher in the draft. And people are going off on Jerry Reese everywhere. You can't throw a dead rat on the internet without hitting somebody who's saying that Jerry Reese reached for the pick and everything like that. When the kid could have gone as high as 10 or 11 and fell, in my estimation, to 15, they talk about his inexperience in college. Well, hey, what's one of the teams he lit up? He lit up freaking Rutgers. You'd think you guys in the New York area would remember that, you know, he dominated against Rutgers instead of acting like the guy just came off the boat. What accounts for something like this? I think the Giants were the second biggest winner of the weekend behind only Seattle, and the trades had to do a lot with Seattle getting such a good score from me. I think the Giants were just about as good as it got last week. What accounts for the attitude of people just going off on them like this?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. All right, you may want to sit down for this
one.
This is going to shock you. A lot of New Yorkers, in fact, I'd say most New Yorkers, don't know, don't care, and don't watch college football. I mean, they really don't,
right,
which makes the NFL draft a very awkward time of year because most New Yorkers never saw JPP play. They have no idea. I'm being honest with you. Now, we're going to boo and say, oh, we hate that pick, or we love this pick. But usually it's based on just reputation. It's based on what we read. New York's a great sports town, but it's not a great college football town. It's not a great supporter of Rutgers. It doesn't really care that much about Rutgers. A couple of years ago, they were pretty good, and people got somewhat excited. But it is not a college football town. It's a baseball town. It's an NFL town to a degree, but it's not a college football town. So I think it's simple. The Giants need a linebacker. Okay, that's their obvious need going into the draft. They need a middle linebacker to replace Antonio Pierce. So that's the mindset the Giant fan has going in, and they say, where's our linebacker? Where's our linebacker? Pierre Paul? Who's this guy? They've never seen him play. They don't freaking know. All they do is look next to his name and see D-E instead of L-B. And that ticks a lot of Giant fans off, and that's the reality. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when the Jets traded up to get Joe McKnight, it excited Jet fans, not because they know Joe McKnight's going to be a superstar, but because they've seen Joe McKnight play, because one of the two college football games New Yorkers probably saw during the course of the year is USC. It's not South Florida. So I hate to say it. Look, I can't tell you what type of player Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be. Nobody can tell. I mean, you read the scouting reports on him. He's got a lot of ability and all this. But nobody knows what player he's going to turn into. But all Giant fans know is we've never really heard of him, and he's not a linebacker. So you can't take the critiques of New York sports fans when it comes to the NFL draft that seriously. Because, to be honest, we're not a good college football town at all.
That is an odd thing. Yeah, the entire Northeast, you know, of the country. Now, maybe it's because, again, there's not a lot of big-time programs in the area or anything like that. I'll tell you one more thing that, you know, will probably make you think once again that my mind works in twisted and contradictory ways. My dad's an Ohio State alum. I've been to the Horseshoe for countless big games over the years. Love going. However, they've played my alma mater, Ohio, a few times, like they will this fall. I'll be there wearing the green and white rooting for the alma mater. So that the fact that I've rooted for different teams in the same stadium probably just scrambles your mind even more, Evan.
Yeah, I'm very confused. Did you also root for Michigan, too?
No!
Are you a big Michigan fan?
No. Hate Michigan.
Okay, good.
Hate Michigan.
Yeah, then that would really confuse me.
I hate Michigan, and I hate Miami of Ohio. And let me tell you something. Ben Roethlisberger playing for Pitts Puke and being an alum from there, let me tell you something. I hated the guy before he was exposed as a rapist, allegedly. So, you know, I didn't need anything else to go on with him. Let's talk about what the Jets are doing. That's more your team, I guess, anyways. You know, when you look at that, it is entirely fitting that the HBO cameras of Hard Knocks are going to be there this year. My God, the people that are now on that team, Cromartie and Edwards and Holmes and on and on and on, with the personalities that were already there. The Kyle Wilson thing I thought was one of the big steals of the first round. That's secondary. Instead of last year when you had Darrell Revis and three equivalents of Rick Morris back there, now you have a secondary with the best cornerback in football and legit weapons surrounding him back there. It's got to be an exciting time to be a Jet fan, to be following the team. McKnight, that just adds a whole new thing here, although it does kind of make you wonder, are there going to be enough footballs to go around on offense here? Let's not forget Sean Green, who realistically probably should be a starting running back over LaDainian Tomlinson, who's not used to taking a back seat. You could wonder a little bit about the chemistry and the egos and everything like that, but it's got to be a more exciting time to be a Jet fan than probably a fan of any other team in the league.
It's definitely very exciting to be a Jet fan, but the mentality of the Jet fan is, how are we going to screw up? How is this season going to be a disaster? How is it going to be a disappointment? And I commend the Jets for this. They're coming off a year in which, as they like to say, they were 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl, which they were, but we were also 30 minutes away from not making the playoffs, from an 8-8 season. So obviously this wasn't a 13-3 team that you could just kind of keep the same core together and say, let's go from here. They needed to improve themselves, which they have. But there's a lot of moves that this team has made that you can question. And it starts with Alan Faneca. It starts with an offensive line that's played over 30 consecutive games together. It starts with a veteran leader like Faneca, who they decide to release. And now their left guard is either going to be Matt Slauson or Vladimir Dukas, the pick they had from University of Massachusetts. That's a major question. This was a ground-and-pound team last year, and they let their veteran leader, their anchor of that offensive line, go. That's ticking a lot of Jet fans off. Jason Taylor signing that piece of crap who has never said a nice word about Jet fans. All he's done over his career is just insult us at every chance he gets. He's also, by the way, in his mid to late 30s, and he also admitted that in his 1 year in Washington, he couldn't wait to go home and check the Dolphins scores. That guy is playing for our team. Now, this team needs a pass rush, and Taylor had, I think, 6 or 7 sacks last year, so he should help the pass rush. But that's another move that a lot of Jet fans look at and say, I'm not too sure about that one. Trading Leon Washington had to happen. He was coming off that gruesome injury last year. But LaDainian Tomlinson is done. He's done. He has a great name. That's fine. LaDainian Tomlinson, I had him on my fantasy team 2 years ago. He's not any good anymore. And this excuse of, well, it's the San Diego offensive line. Now you're putting him behind this offensive line. Yeah, you're also probably going to have a rookie left guard, too. Replacing Tomlinson with Thomas Jones didn't make any sense. Now, I love this Antonio Holmes trade. I know he's got his baggage. I love that. You can't complain about it, a fifth-round pick. Antonio Cromartie, definitely worth it, even though he's impregnated about 15 or 16 different women, if we're losing check here, and you know, has about 27 different kids running around. It's definitely worth the move, but everything they've done hasn't been something that we are all jumping up and down about. There have been moves that this team has made that you question, and that's what leads to the nervousness about this season. And you throw in the freaking Hard Knocks, then, that this team is so concerned about their image that they need to go be on HBO, which can only be a distraction. Nothing good can come out of that. So, yeah, I mean, we're excited. We're coming off here. We're so close to the Super Bowl. But there's a lot of trepidation for us Jet fans going into this year.
I can understand that. You know, Cleveland fans know nothing but trepidation in all sports at all times, even with the best team in the league on an inevitable march to the NBA championship. There's still some people in this
town. You're not on any inevitable march to the NBA championship. You guys are a very good team, but when you take on the Orlando, if you get by the Celtics and you take on the Magic, they're knocking you out. So you could be inevitably, I don't know where you're inevitably going, but it's not to a championship, my friend. I'm sorry.
I got four words for you there, ER, and they are transform. Transformers and shapeshifters, okay? There's never been anything, well, I don't want to say never been anything in the league like this, but there's nothing in the league like this now. Go big, go small, go here, go there. It doesn't matter. Jameson at the 5, if the situation dictates, as we saw a little bit in the last round. No problem. How about Shaq and Z and maybe Andy at the 3? Yeah, okay, let's go with that if the circumstance happens. There's not another team out there that can really match up with the Cavs with this deep roster that Danny Ferry, who should be executive of the year, has a
How's LeBron's shoulder doing? Is he doing okay? Is he feeling all right?
Hey, if you're going to taunt me, it's the elbow, Evan.
Oh, the elbow. I'm sorry. I apologize. I saw him shoot the free throw with the left hand miss.
That was Jordan.
When he closes his eyes while he's at it.
That was theatrics, getting in the mind of the fossils from Boston, making them wonder.
How is that getting in anybody's mind? It's confused me. I forgot what he's hurt now.
Yeah. It didn't work so well if you thought it was his shoulder, I guess. Yeah.
I knew it was something connected to his, you know, arm area.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I'm glad we were able to get you back on before July 1st, and maybe we'll be able to do that again. But, you know, let's always take the pulse with you since you're on with us here. Let's take the pulse. How cocky are you about this being the year that LeBron comes and signs with the Nets when he's available?
None. He's going back to Cleveland. I'm sorry. I don't know when it hit me. Maybe it hit me a couple of weeks ago, but there's not a doubt in my mind he's going back to Cleveland, unfortunately. But there's a huge J-Lo escapade here going on. He's only signing for 3 years, and that should scare you. Because he's basically saying, look, all right, I've enjoyed the last couple of years of scaring everybody, of forcing ownership to go out and be aggressive and get me Mo Williams and get me Antoine Jameson. I like it. So what I want to do is I'm going to sign another 3-year deal. I'm going to keep you on your toes. I'm going to keep you scared. And then once that beautiful arena is built down in downtown Brooklyn, I'm leaving you guys at the altar. So that's my – unfortunately, we're going to have to taunt each other for another 3 years because I don't think he's coming now. Right. I think he's going to come in 3 years. So you'll get to keep him for a few more years.
Three years. You know what? I'm willing to take those 4 rings that would imply and say, have a good time in New York, LeBron. I'll be gracious.
I forgot, you know, and especially considering I can't remember what he hurt. How many finals games has LeBron James won? Games. Just NBA finals games.
I remember, I don't know about finals games, but I remember a certain one against Orlando last year, game two of the conference finals.
No, I'm talking about like the NBA finals, like games that your Cleveland Cavaliers led by LeBron James. How many NBA finals games have they won?
Hey, isn't it enough that he dragged a team in 07 to the finals that Allen Iverson's 01 Sixers cast would have kicked the ass of? Okay, isn't it enough that he dragged all those guys, Larry Hughes, to the finals? I got to tell you this. Speaking of Larry Hughes, I'll leave it on this note here. I remember that we got an email to the station at the time. You remember that Larry Hughes, and this is how heartless our emailers can be. I remember that Larry Hughes' brother passed away, and he got the teardrop tattoo by his eye.
Sure.
Somebody emailed in and said, when's he going to get the other teardrop for the loss of his jump shot?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is just... that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's wrong on so many levels.
My goodness, you people are heartless. How about New Yorkers are heartless?
Jeez. Oh, my God, yeah. We can match you here in the heartland, at least occasionally on that score, it would seem like. But, Evan, it is always a good time when we have you on the show, guaranteed, WFAN.com. And, of course, you know, we didn't even get into the wrestling tonight. I got to have you back on to talk about that, to break down the draft. There was another draft, .. by the way, so we'll have to talk about that. Let me just ask you a closing question on that, the way that SmackDown basically got raped here. I mean, I've seen some people put the positive spin on it and say this is the show where by default, you know, young guys are going to be getting pushed and everything like that, but to my way of thinking, you want to leave John Morrison on there and maybe make him a franchise if that's going to be the case, so it's kind of a mixed message to me.
As I was watching the draft the other night, I said, and I guess they just couldn't book a guest host. Maybe that was the problem the last couple of weeks. I think they got to end this brand extension because the rosters don't even mean anything anymore. I watch every week. I get confused who's on which roster. Like, I'm losing my mind. Guys are on this show. They're on that show. And it's just so confusing now. And it's time. It's been how many years now? They started this extension in 2002. It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
I think after watching the draft the other night, my reaction was, who cares? Because I'm just confused which guy's on which show. Jericho's back on Raw. Edge is back on Raw. End it. I think we should end it. We should have a big unification, you know, match and move on. You know, it was good 8 years ago. It's just not good anymore because the draft doesn't really have any impact.
I agree. I certainly agree, and I would like to see that as well. But, yeah, we'll, as we go along, we'll continue to break down wrestling with you, New York sports, national sports, all things. Always fun, always a good time for our listeners here. Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York, and you can follow everything at WFAN.com. Anything that I missed plugging, Evan?
Nah, you covered it well. Good luck to your Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll be watching.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to enjoy the ride, definitely. So that'll be great. Appreciate having you on. You have been one of the most fun people to talk to along the way with our first 100 shows, and I know that'll continue to be the case. Thank you so much, as always, my friend.
Anytime, my man.
Appreciate it. Evan Roberts, everybody. The great Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York.